This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. I praise the Lord for you folks who are listening. Praise the Lord for you who have contacted me. Tell me you're listening over one of our new stations all over the southeast over here on the East Coast. And others are coming on the line almost on a daily basis. And we're bringing to a close now the studies on the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And in our last study or two, I'd been reading you from that chapter, trying to refresh your mind. I want to go back there and read starting at the 20th verse today. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Let's look now. Let's watch. By faith, he blessed Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed the sons of Joseph. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. I'm just skipping over it. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Then that 27th verse, by faith he forsook Egypt. And then 28th, by through faith he kept the Passover. 29th, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. 30th verse, by faith the walls of Jericho fell. We just been looking at that in our last study or two. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not. And then he said, he sums up. He said, what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David also, and Samuel and the prophets. And I've asked our folks here to go back and read, starting there in the book of Joshua, at least read all that whole book of Joshua and see the deliverances of God. I brought a message the other night on God's deliverances, and I don't know of a better place that you could find than in the book of Joshua. So go there and read that. And we're coming pretty close now to the end of these studies. It's been a gracious time, and I'm sure I missed a lot of it. But we want to open our Bibles this morning, if you will, there to Hebrews 11:35. 11:35. And let's read. Women received their dead to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. We saw that in our last study or two, how that they were oftentimes put on the rack and tortured and cruel and burned at the stake. And They received not that deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And then others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yes, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Now, I mentioned to you in our last study, we have a book on Martyrs' Mirrors here, and also the martyred book on martyrdom, and we'd be glad to quote you a price on those books, Fox's Book of Martyrs, and we have them here in stock on our bookstore. You write me, or email me, I'll write you a quote back or call you. Now, that statement has just gone home to my heart. It said, of whom the world was not worthy. Listen, you see that? It was in parentheses, like it was thrown in later. God just throw that in to let them know, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves. See, we don't know anything about suffering, folks. My folks here don't know anything about suffering. Neither do you. You and I don't know anything. We get a hangnail or a toenail. We think we're suffering. Oh, but listen, all of these having obtained a good report, through what? Through faith. They received not the promise. God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect or be made mature. Now that's what the word perfect means. Be mature. Reach a state of maturity like they wanted to. And he's talking about those things we noticed in our last study. They were tortured. They didn't accept deliverance. They had cruel mocking, scourging, bonds, imprisonment. They were sawn asunder. It probably was one of the worst or most cruel treatments ever given to one of God's children, sawn asunder. You see, you understand how that means? They laid them out in some kind of a box, a container, and sawed their bodies in two. They tell us they did that. And listen, my friend, they'd make an old makeshift coffin and nail them up in there, and then they'd take a saw and saw it in two, right through the middle, and nailed them up there where they couldn't get out. They couldn't move. Probably one of the most torturous, most cruel sufferings that believers have ever had to go through. And you and I know nothing about that, my friend. I'm just trying to make you think, trying to make you take a few moments and to think what God's people have gone through in order to be faithful, be true to God's word. And then they knew that if they died, they'd go on home to be with the Lord. Do you have that realization, my friend, that if you die, you go on home to be with the Lord? That's right. I tell my folks here, and I tell you, you having lots of trials and troubles and tribulation, maybe medical problem, look up. Look up. Our redemption draweth nigh. We're not here for long, my friend. And then the Jews tell us that Isaiah was killed like that, sawn asunder. Did you know that? Did you understand that, my friend? To think about that, sit down and read the book of Isaiah, that great old prophet, and find, and then to think that he came to death. They nailed him up in a coffin alive and sawed him in two, into two pieces. They did. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. Now, the question arises, we were discussing that in our last study there. Why does God's children encounter such terrible experiences? Can you answer that? No, I can't. But first, let's look at it. That through their trial, their faith may be set examples to others and give courage and patience to others. Do you have folks who suffer for patiently for Christ's sake? Do you know folks? I do. I know individuals and have known individuals over the years how they suffered and never complain. And I look back and I admire those individuals, how that they suffered for Christ's sake. Oh, my friend, they took it patiently. They never complained. Surely they suffered. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a child of God or not. You suffer. If you have a terrible sickness with a lot of pain, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer. Look at those folks there in that book of strange tales. Many, many of those folks suffered excruciating pain for years and years. Several stories there how the young women were taken to the bed when they was 10, 12, 13 years old and lay there for 30 years. All they could do was move their eyes and their hands, and after a while their hands got paralyzed and all they could do was look. But they never complained. I never saw any of them complaining. They suffered for Christ's sake. Isn't that grace, my friend? It takes grace to do that. I know that. But we don't know the scriptures. Our folks, I've heard pastors say, well, I don't preach out of the Old Testament. That's all done away with now. Well, that's where you see the suffering of God's people there in the Old Testament. But look, listen now. They went through their trials of faith to set examples for others, give courage and patience to others like me and like you. And when I look back and see the trials that our Lord went through, the sufferings, the cruel treatment, then we are always crying, Lord, don't let me complain. Don't let me complain. You know, we're so quick to complain. We have the most complaining generation now that I've ever witnessed. And I saw a bumper sticker one day that said, don't complain with your mouth full. Oh, my friend, you and I in America, we have the greatest liberty. Surely we have things that's not just right. Surely we might complain about this and that and the other, but don't do that, my friend. Listen. And then I look back there. I pick up that book on Fox's Martyrs. And if you hadn't read it, I'm going to recommend that you read it. I wish you would. Fox's Book of Martyrs, one of the great old divines. He gathered all that information, and you read that book, and if it don't drive you to the Lord to make you appreciate what you have in Christ, you're just not saved. Now, if you don't listen, you take that statement. If those occurrences that happened there, there's just enough of them there in the books that the stories that we read in here where they were sawn asunder, tempted with the sword, slain with the sword, burned at the stake. And if you want to read that another book on the sufferings, you write me, or I'll help you find that book on John Bunyan's daughter Mary, entitled Mary Bunyan. You can look it up. You might find it on the eBay. It's out of print now. Or you might find it in a used bookstore. And if you find it, don't matter what it costs, get it and read it. Mary Bunyan, the blind daughter of John Bunyan. How that the suffering went on there. and she got lost in England during the plagues there, and heard how much her father suffered just trying to find her. What would you do if you had a blind child that had gotten lost in a large metropolis area? Oh, my friend. But we look up those things, and we see how they stood, and I read Christian history, the first century, how they were put to death. And now he's telling us here how they were suffering, how they were being put to death. And God permits it. You say, does God? Yes, we know that the faith we have, get this, is not our faith. It's that, and that faith, I don't care how much trial it undergoes. I don't care what torture the human body has to stand. That faith will never fail. It'll never fail, my friend. And that's what he demonstrates to the world in this book, Fox's Book of Martyrs, that the faith of a believer under the most trying circumstances will never fail. Never. It'll never fail because it's the faith of the Son of God. We like I said, we're going to recommend those books highly, Martyrs, Mirrors, and Fox's Book of Martyr. And then there's another thing they're suffering may so manifest the truth and the evaluation of the truth of what they profess. And if I'm not willing to suffer for the truth that I preach, there's nothing to it. No. I know it's only a fair weather gospel and nothing to it. And it will not last through the suffering and trial. There's nothing to it. It will not last through slanderous tongues, critical tongues, lying tongues, cruel mockings. Those things are not physical pain, but they're mental pain, mental anguish. I have folks who tear the old Trailblazer's reputation down if I had one. But oh my friend, what a time it is to just look back and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Now, I'm not bitter with those folks. No, sir. I told someone the other day, I have no bitterness, no animosity towards one individual in this world, even though many have criticized the old Trailblazer. All of those things, my friend. But the Lord is on the throne. Did you know that? Whereas my help comes from above. My help, I can turn to the Lord. And Lord, you take care of them. I don't try to get back. No, that's, the Lord says, turn the other cheek. Don't he say that? And we look to the Lord day in and day out. And no matter what comes and what goes, sure, there's lots of physical suffering in this life. I see those little old children suffering now from the lack of food and all of those things. And then I see other folks. We saw those homeless folks there in New Orleans where we fed the hungry and all of those things. They suffer. But I'm talking about suffering because of the gospel. Suffering because of the gospel. Because you take a stand on the side of truth. And that's what's happening today. Not many of our pastors and preachers are taking a stand on the side of truth now. They're smooth. They have the smooth talk, my friend. But listen, God help us. The Lord help us. Lord, pity a pastor that won't tell the truth, that won't preach the gospel. When the Lord called me, he gave me that verse. He said, preach the gospel. Be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove and rebuke with all long suffering. You know what that word rebuke means? It's in reprove. It means to tell and call their names. You say, Trailblazer, you call folks' name? Yes, I do. Once in a while, I call their number first, and they shacking up and making out like with a long, sanctimonious face on. I call their number. And I know who they are, and they know that I know. And they either get in or get out. Get in or get out. But this is the old Trailblazer. Remember my mailing address? The old Trailblazer. Post Office Box, 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785, and my website, radiomissions.org. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.